Well, let's take our Bibles this morning, if you would please, and turn to Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19, we will pick up where we left off last time in verse number 17. And so if you find your place this morning in Genesis chapter 19, let me remind you a little bit of the background as we come here. We're going to be focusing this morning's message on a person that is mentioned just a few times in the Word of God, but particularly in the last few chapters and twice in the New Testament, that is Lot. And that is where the Lord focuses the attention in the Word of God at the second end of Genesis chapter number 19. And so there are some things that we can learn in the life of Lot. But if you remember in Genesis chapter number 18, the Lord came to Abraham. And the purpose of the Lord coming to Abraham was to commune with him. And the Lord ultimately was revealing himself to Abraham. We understand today that God reveals himself in his word. And Abraham learned some things about the Lord. He learned about his mercy, about his judgment, about his justice. He learned about the value of righteous people. And there's much that he learned in chapter number 18. And he asks the Lord the questions, if God would destroy the righteous with the wicked. Now, we know that that's not what God did. We know that in chapter number 19, when God sends his two angels to basically exercise judgment upon the city of Sodom because of their grievous sin, we find that now the Lord, through the angels, comes to Lot, and the reaction between Abraham and Lot is quite the same at the onset, is it not? When the Lord comes to Abraham, Abraham bows himself to the ground and he worships the Lord, and the Lord communes with him. And when the two angels come to Sodom, Lot does the same thing. He bows himself to the ground, and it seems to us that they are the same thing. They're reacting the same way to the message of the Lord, but Lot was quite different from Abraham. And we're going to see that particularly this morning. We know that the angels went to Sodom in the beginning of chapter number 19, and they saw the wickedness of the city. They saw how entrenched the sin was in the city, and therefore the judgment was going to come. And we saw that Lot delayed. The Lord says, leave the city before I destroy it. And the morning comes, and this is very early in the morning. The angels had to wake Lot up, and the angels had to carry Lot and his family outside of the city. And this is where we pick up in Genesis 19, verse 17. And the Bible says this, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Think about it. It was not just the destruction of the cities. It was the destruction of everything. From the buildings to the vegetation. Everything in the plain where Sodom and Gomorrah was consumed. Verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, and he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not that she lay down, nor When she arose, and it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesterday with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammim, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now I want to consider before we go into the study of this passage that this is the last thing we read of Lot. This is how his life is ended in the Scriptures. Now the New Testament refers to Lot twice, and we'll look at those passages, but this is the end of the life of Lot. He doesn't die here, but this is all the Scripture reveals to us concerning Lot. But I want to turn your attention, if you would, to the expression we find at the end of verse 20, where the Bible says here, as Lot is pleading to go to this little city, Zoar, the Lord grants him, and this is the expression we find at the end of verse 20. The Bible says, Let me escape thither, is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. My soul shall live. He had said earlier that he did not want to go to the mountain for fear that some evil come upon him and he died. But here he refers to his soul, his spirit, if you would, and he says that he would be discouraged and depressed. And so I would like to focus on Lot in our study of the second part of Genesis 19. You know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament in 1 Peter 2:7, the Bible refers to Lot and says that the Lord delivered just Lot, but then it explains to us what his condition was. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:7, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The Bible says, for that righteous man, Lot, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now the word vexed in verse 7 means, the word itself means to labor down, to wear away with toil, to oppress. And so we understand that when Lot was in the city, his righteous soul was vexed, it was oppressed, it was labored down. It was, if you would, torture. The vexing is associated with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It had to do with what Lot was hearing on a day-to-day basis. In verse 8, the word vexed means, speaks of being in pain, being in toil, being tormented, being tossed, being tortured. And so this vexing is associated with Lot dwelling and seeing and hearing. It had to do with Lot living in the midst of Sodom, seeing the behavior in Sodom, and hearing the conversation of the people in Sodom. The Bible says, gives the expression day to day. It reveals to us that it was a constant pressure that was applied upon him. Lot was dwelling in the midst, seeing the behavior, hearing the conversation, which was all the Bible declares to be unlawful deeds. In other words, it was against God. And so I would like to put it like this. The soul of Lot had been worked over in the city of Sodom to the point that his soul was worn down. And so I want to preach this morning on this subject, the soul that is worn down. Because when we come to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 17 to the end of the chapter, the Lord focuses on Lot. And to be honest with you, there's a lot going on in the conversation here with Lot. And Lot says a lot of contradictory things. It is evident to us as we read of this record of Lot that his soul is in anguish. It is troubled. His soul has been worn down. And every decision that he makes, and as we study his life here at the end of verse 19, we find a soul that has been worn down. And soul is the same that can happen to all of us. Our souls can very quickly be worn down. I want to deal first of all, and I'm going to give you, if you would, four points, if I remember correctly, in the message, about the soul that is worn down. First of all, we're going to see, and we're looking at the life of Lot here, we see, first of all, that the soul that is worn down will become disinterested in following the way of the Lord. The soul that is worn down will become disinterested in following the way of the Lord. Notice verse 17, how this record continues. The Bible says, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. And so we know that the angels physically took the hand of Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, and physically brought them outside of the city. And now they're outside of the city, and the angels tell Lot, he says, you need to escape for thy life. And the Bible says here, the instruction is this, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And so we see here, the instruction was specific, wasn't it not? Escape for thy life, don't look behind you, don't stay in the plain, escape to the mountain. If you don't escape to the mountain, you'll be consumed. And so the instruction here is very specific. And so we see here, verse 18, how Lot reacts to the instruction. The Bible says, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Excuse me? I want to say, wake up, what's going on? What are you talking about? The city is going to be destroyed. The instruction is clear, but yet Lot raises up his voice and he says, oh, not so, my Lord. Think about those words from Lot. He says, oh, not so. But then you put that with the expression, my Lord. Does it not peculiar to you? Those two expressions are completely opposite, are they not? To say, not so, and my Lord does not go together. Why? Because to say my Lord means that you recognize God as your ruler and therefore you submit to Him because He is your authority. But to say not so means that you refuse to submit to God's authority. And so there's a contention going on in the soul of Lot. Because on the one end, he recognized who is it that's speaking to him. He recognized it is the voice of the Lord. But at the same time, he says, not so. Jesus Christ gave the same expression in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He says this, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus says it makes absolutely no sense for you to call me Lord and Master and yet do not do the things which I say. You see, that is contradictory. That doesn't go together. You see, it does not make sense to call someone Lord and yet to refuse to do things, the things which He says. And so notice in verse 19, the Bible says, behold now, this is Lot speaking, thy servant. And I'm thinking, there it is again. He recognizes that he is the servant of the Lord. He recognizes that he is to be submitted to the Lord. But he says, behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Do you see how contradictory he is? How does that happen? It happens because his soul has been worn down. His soul has been vexed, has been tortured, has been tossed, has been influenced on a day-to-day basis. And as a result, Lot is disinterested in following the way of the Lord. You see, we quickly note Lot's admission. Lot declares that God was gracious and merciful to him. Lot acknowledges that God saved his life from being destroyed in Sodom. Yet after all of those admissions, he still refuses to submit to the Lord. Then Lot turns and he makes a perplexing statement. Lot says that he cannot go to the mountain because there is a potential of him dying. He says this, I cannot escape to the mountain. Now it's interesting. The word cannot is interesting, is it not? I think of my own children. Clean your room. I can't. What do I say? Is it you can't or you won't? And that is the same predicament Lot is in. Could Lot have gone to the mountain? Yes, because by the end of the story, he goes up to the mountain. So he had the ability to go up to the mountain. It's just that he did not want to go. You see, the word cannot means Lot said that he was not able to flee to the mountain in time. This was not about Lot saying, I can't, but rather it was about Lot saying, I will not do what you want me to do. You know, we often make the same excuses, do we not? We say, well, I can't do that, I can't do this. But what we really mean is we really don't want to do that. And notice he says, I cannot go to the mountain. And then he says, lest some evil take me and I die. Wait a minute. Think about how contradicting his statement is. Lot had just declared that the Lord saved his life. But now the Lord instructs Lot to go to a mountain and Lot says, I'm not going to go because I'm going to die. So he's basically saying, you're going to send me to a place where I'm going to die. That makes no sense. Why would God save him and then cause him to be in a place where he would die? You see, that is the anguish of the soul that represents the conflict that is going on within a person of a soul that has been worn down. To say, I cannot, is a matter of Lot's will. To say, let some evil take me, is an excuse to not conform to the will of God. And so are the actions and the thoughts of the soul that has been worn down by the world. You put in a grind, and the world is constantly influencing your life, and your soul is being attacked day to day to day to day and being worn down. And as a result, you better mark my words, that when your soul becomes worn down, you will become disinterested in doing the will of God. But secondly, the soul that is worn down will become dispassionate in forsaking the world. Notice his argument in verse 20. He says, behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one, as if that made it okay. Oh, let me escape thither. And then there's a parenthesis, as if he was thinking in himself, is it not a little one? And notice, my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Wherefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. You see, Lot's soul had been worked on for so long that it was worn down. Instead of his soul being strong in standing against the wicked, his soul became weak and succumbed to the influence of the wicked. Lot did not want to go to the mountain. He wanted to remain in some city. You know, he says here, the city is near to flee unto. You see, Lot was looking for an easy way out. And the soul that is worn down will also do the same thing. We'll always look for the easy way out. Give me a quick fix. I want to do the easy route. He did not want to put forth effort to follow the Lord's instruction. Lot sought for a substitute that did not require much effort on his part. You see, the soul that is worn down has little to no passion to do the will of God and is dispassionate in forsaking the world. He says twice, he refers to this city as a little one. That's a little city, Lord. Isn't it a little city? You see, Lot emphasized twice that this was a little city. Why such an emphasis? What does this have to do with anything at hand? Well, perhaps it was for this reason. You see, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were the largest cities in the plain. It was often known throughout history that the largest cities in any country are the more wicked cities. It is also a fact in our day that the most vile and wicked cities in our nation are the largest cities. Isn't that the truth? And by the way, we see that pattern in the scriptures themselves. Do you remember after the flood, we have the Tower of Babel? What was the goal? They sought to build themselves a city. They sought to all come together into one place. And as a result, that city became very wicked. And there's a pattern in scripture. And by the way, throughout history, and even to this day, that the most wicked and vile places in the world are the largest cities. And so Lot is still interested in the city. And his excuse is, it's a little one, is it not, compared to Sodom and Gomorrah? So therefore, to Lot, the city being a little one would mean little wickedness. However, to be okay with little wickedness only reveals his unwillingness to forsake the world. You see, he recognizes how wicked now Sodom and Gomorrah was as he was dwelling in them. But yet here he is still, his soul has been worn down, that he is still attached to the world. He is still attached to the influence of the world. He is still attached to those things. And he says, I cannot separate myself from the world. You say, what was this city? Well, the first time we see the mention of Zoar is in Genesis 13:10, when the conflict between Lot and Abraham. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. So Zoar was right on the edge of the plain. You see, the expression, as thou comest to Zoar, is referring back to the plain of Jordan being well watered everywhere all the way till you reach Zoar. So Zoar would be on the extreme edge of the plain. It was the place that was just on the edge. And by the way, often that's what people do. And even many Christians struggle with that, with the world and living for God. And what they do is they try to live on the edge. They try to have as much possible a connection to the world and still have a seeming obedience to God. You see, we also find, if we study history there, that the city of Zoar had joined the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in battles against the opposing nation. You remember when Abraham delivered Sodom? Well, Zoar was part of that. You remember that Abraham had refused to associate himself with all of those cities. Zoar was part of that. And Abraham had refused. But Lot here is not refusing himself to associate with the city of Zoar. In Genesis 14:12-2, we find all the nations mentioned together in the plain, and Zoar was part of that at the end of Genesis 14:2 and also at the end of Genesis 14:8. Bela was mentioned there is the same as Zoar. They joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. So I want you to further note the expression in verse 20. The Bible says here, oh, let me escape thither, and my soul shall live. I really do not believe that this expression has to do with Lot fearing for his life. But rather, by using the word soul, it speaks of himself finding satisfaction in the city of Zoar. He is saying, look, I don't want to become a depressed man. I want to live in a city. And you say, well, why would he say that? Well, I want you to think, before Lot went to the city, the Bible declares to us that he had great herds, he had herdsmen, he had cattle, he had great riches. But when he came to Sodom, all of a sudden you find all of those things are not there with him. And you see, because he does not have those riches that initially the Lord had blessed him with, because he left those things to go to the city, now he is dependent upon the city and not upon what God had blessed him with. And so therefore, because he's been dependent upon the world for so long, there's an anguish going on in his soul. He says, I'm going to become depressed. My soul is going to die if I don't go to a city. I have become dependent upon the world. And for the Christian, there's only two places we can be dependent upon. We're either going to be dependent upon the Lord, or we're going to be dependent upon the world for our satisfaction. And Lot still has not gone there because his soul has been worn down. In Job chapter 10, verse 11, Job writes, my soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. You see, this is all about Lot considered the world to be his gain. Lot was still stuck in the plains of Jordan. Lot was still seeking satisfaction in the things that do not bring satisfaction. There's a reference of Lot in Luke chapter 17, verse 28. In this context, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the second coming, when Jesus Christ is going to come rule and reign on the earth. But in the expression, he mentions this in Luke 17, 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom and rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So notice here, they had all that they needed. They ate, they drank, they sold. They did not need God. And so the Lord destroyed that city. He says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? And then the Bible says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. You see, it's all about what we consider to be gain and what we consider to be loss. You see, the Apostle Paul put it this way in Philippians 3:7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So the things that I once thought were gained to me, were good for me, I found those things to be loss. And then I found that I could win Christ. You see, it's about what we consider to be gain and what we consider, and Lot still sought to have gain in this world. You see, he had come to a position of leadership in the city of Sodom, and perhaps he thought to himself, I could go to Zoar and also be in a position of leadership. That's the big city. They'll see me as a place of authority. And so perhaps I could establish myself in the city of Zoar as well. Psalm 23, verse 3. The psalmist writes, says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 25, 1 says, Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Psalm 42, 5 says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. In Psalm 42, verse 11, the Bible says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You see, the soul will either find the health of its countenance in the world, or it will find the health of its countenance in the Lord. And Lot was still seeking for the world. So the soul that is worn down will become disinterested in following the way of the Lord. The soul that is worn down will become dispassionate in forsaking the world. The soul, thirdly, that is worn down will dwell in fear. If you jump over to verse number 30, if you would, the Bible says, And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar. And I'm thinking, whoa, what happened? He went to Zoar. But then the judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot was able to observe that everything in the plain was destroyed. And now Lot has been in Zoar now for a day. And he ends up going to the mountain. Why? Because he feared to dwell in Zoar. I want to say, wait. I thought Lot was afraid to escape to the mountain. Was he not? That was what he said. But now we see that he fears to dwell in Zoar. You see, the Lord had told Lot to escape to the mountain. The Lord did not tell Lot to dwell in the mountain. I think it's interesting in our text that the Lord said, escape to the mountain several times. And Lot responded and says, I'm not going to escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. But now the Bible says that because he feared to dwell in Zoar, he dwelt in the mountain. God just told him to escape to the mountain. He did not tell Lot to dwell in the mountain. But now, he is dwelling in the mountain. His intention was not to escape to Zoar. His intention was to dwell in Zoar. And now, because he's dwelling in fear, he goes up to dwell in the mountain. He ends up in a cave and lives there. Why? Because of fear. You see, the soul that is worn down is going to dwell in fear. It is unstable. You see, Lot feared the mountain, and he also feared the city of Zoar. Everywhere Lot went, he was in fear. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Those three things are the three things that are missing in the life of Lot. You see, the opposite of the spirit of fear is the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. None of these three were present in the life of Lot. You see, Lot was not thinking straight. He did not have a sound mind. He didn't want to go to the mountain. He didn't want to dwell in Zoar. He didn't want to obey the Lord. He didn't want to forsake the Lord. He's just confused. He's making contradictions. He's not thinking straight. And the soul that is worn down by the world is not going to have a sound mind. We also see that Lot did not truly consider the grace and the mercy of God. He had admitted earlier, had he not, "You've been gracious to me. You've been merciful to me. But don't send me to the mountain because I'm going to die." That doesn't go together. If God has been gracious and merciful to you and says, "Go to the mountain," do you think he's going to let you die in the mountain? You see, the love of the Lord has escaped his mind. And by the way, when the world wears down your soul, it dims your view of God and his graciousness and his mercy in your life. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Lot also did not find the power to obey the will of the Lord. Job 15:24, the Bible says, "Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. They shall prevail against him as a king ready to the battle." You see, trouble and anguish is going to make a person afraid. The soul that is worn down by the world will only bring about fear in the life of a person. And lastly, we see the soul that is worn down will be devoid of fruitfulness. Do you see how the life of Lot ends? Verse 31. The Bible says, "And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine." I want us to consider Lot's life just leading up to this time. Lot, at one point, had great wealth, had he not? If you go back to Genesis 13:5, the Bible says, "And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle." So Lot used to have flocks. He used to have herds. He used to dwell in tents. He had cattle. He had herdmen to take care of his flock. The Bible tells us that he had great substance. I want to ask the question, what happened to those things? What was in Lot's possession that we know? And when he left the city, when he left for the city of Sodom, we know all of those things that he had. That was before he went to Sodom. God had blessed him. God had given him everything he needs. But then he goes to the world to find his satisfaction in the world. And the world robs him of everything that God has blessed him with. And the world will do exactly that to you. It will rob you of everything God has blessed you with. Well, the one thing we know that Lot had now, to me, it's just what I see. He went into Sodom with flocks, herds, cattle, herdmen, with great substance. And he leaves Sodom with wine. The one thing we know he had was wine. Alcoholic beverage. You know, I can think of a multitude of things to bring with, but wine. This was obviously intoxicating drink because Lot was so drunk that he didn't realize that what his daughters had done. And this is how Lot's life ends. We read nothing of him to the exception of two references in the New Testament, which, by the way, are not positive. And so I want us to consider here that God had great expectation for the life of Lot. He had blessed Lot beyond measure, beyond what Lot no doubt expected. But when Lot gave himself to the world and became part of the world, he lost all of those things. And perhaps, as some one commentator put it, he says, Lot left Sodom, but Sodom never left him. It was still part of him. Why? Because his soul had been worn down. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 2:6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, that the righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You see, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And that's what Sodom and Gomorrah were. And we see that simply Lot's soul had been worn down. Lot let that happen, by the way. You don't have to let that happen. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 3 says, "The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked." You get that? The Lord, if you're faithful to the Lord, he will not allow your soul to be famished. He will not allow your soul to starve. In other words, he will give you everything you need for your satisfaction, where you can be satisfied with the Lord. And as we look at the life of Lot, I want us to look beyond the mountain where Lot was in the plain. What was beyond the mountain? Abraham was there. And Abraham was satisfied with the Lord. And in this passage we saw that the day after the meeting with the Lord, Abraham went to the exact place where the Lord had communed with him. And he sees the smoke and he sees the fire come down from heaven. And he sees all the devastation. But understand, you see, Abraham was there on the top of the mountain because he found a place where his soul was satisfied by God. And Lot was down in the plain because he did not find satisfaction in the Lord but in the world. Proverbs 13:25 says, "The righteous eateth to the satisfaction of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want." You see, Lot is searching for something else now, apart from the Lord. Proverbs 27:7 says, "The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." What is he saying here? He says, the soul that does not need God thinks it's full, thinks it doesn't need God, even doesn't want the honeycomb, which is the sweetest thing mentioned in the Bible as far as food is concerned. He says, "But to the hungry," those that are thirsty for God, "to the hungry soul, even bitter things are sweet." Isn't that what God has done in our lives? He's allowed us to go through valleys, through dark time, so that we can understand even bitter things with God, we can find satisfaction. Psalm 35:9 says, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." Instead of Lot rejoicing in the salvation of God and delivering him from Sodom, he tried to find his joy and satisfaction in other things. Psalm 42:1 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" You see, I think this is a great contrast between Abraham and Lot. God, Abraham goes on to be blessed of the Lord, and Lot's life is ended, and this is how his life ends. In a scene of incest and debauchery and drunkenness. That's how his life ends. Because he sought satisfaction apart from the Lord. How did that happen? Day to day, his soul was worn down. If your soul is worn down, it's time to say, "Lord, help me to turn my eyes away from the world," because that's all the world will do. Will wear your soul down. Turn your eyes upon the Lord and find once again satisfaction in Him. The world will only bring depression, but the Lord will fulfill your desires.